Let's just pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these amazing things that really happened. We thank you for what they teach us about you and for what they teach us about ourselves. And just ask, Lord, that you will be at work by your Spirit this morning, that you'll inspire us, that you'll teach us. In Jesus' name. Amen. The angel Gabriel is, in fact, one of only two angels that are given names in the Bible. The other one's Michael. And as far as we can make out, they are real big shots when it comes to angels. Gabriel mentions the fact that he stands in the presence of God. And he gets some pretty big assignments. In the Old Testament, he visits Daniel, who is left a trembling wreck. Then he's sent to Zechariah and then to Mary. It must be a tricky business as an amazing angel being sent to people. I mean, he sees Daniel turned to jelly as he flies over to meet him. So he takes the quiet approach with Zechariah. Zechariah goes into the temple and he's just standing there at the right-hand side of the altar. And Zechariah is like, ah! So he's going, do not be afraid, Zechariah. He thinks, I'll try something different with Mary. And he goes, greetings, highly favored one. And she's troubled. And so he goes, do not be afraid, Mary. It's not easy being an angel. There are two accounts right next to each other. It's the same angel. It's a very similar message about God's blessing, about a baby being born, that the child would have huge significance. And in both cases, the word comes to pass, but the process is very different. Both people ask questions, but the questions are very different. And I want to look at their two responses this morning and think about what's going on. And what that can help us understand about the way we react or respond to the circumstances of life, and how that can help us in the way that our relationship with God works itself out. So the illustrations are real live illustrations today. They are Mary and they are Zechariah. And I want to think about those two people. Mary, who was very likely a teenager between 14 and 17, who would have had no formal education, who was engaged to be married, who came from a small town in the backwaters, who was young, who was inexperienced, and who would have had no social standing. And then Zechariah, who was from the priestly line of Aaron, whose wife was from the priestly line of Aaron too, who was described as upright, they both are, who observed God's commands blamelessly, it said in verse 7, who were old, it mentions twice, 7 and 18. So what you've got is a man who has a lifetime of serving God faithfully, who is a highly respected member of the community, who is well-educated, who is mature, who is serving in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, which is an amazing privilege. So, very different people, very different circumstances. And then they are both given promises by Gabriel. For Mary, you're going to have a baby. He will be the Son of God. He will be a king forever. You're going to call him Jesus. Now, Mary hadn't asked for this. It would be confusing. I would imagine if you're between 14 and 17 and you're not married and you're being told you're going to have a baby and it's going to be the Son of God, you might be a little bit scared. Just possibly. And then there's Zechariah. Your prayers that you've been praying for years and years for a baby have been answered. You're going to have a son. He's going to be called John. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. He's going to be great. He's going to have the spirit of Elijah. He'll turn loads of people back to God. He'll be a joy and a delight to you. Many will rejoice because of his birth. So Zechariah had been praying for this for years. It was everything they wanted and more. There are the scenarios. And then there are two questions. Mary says, how will this be, since I am a virgin? The King James Version says, how shall this come to pass? And that both of those things give you the sense of what she's saying. It's going to happen. How's it going to happen? And there's no sense of her saying it's not going to happen. It's more about how. I mean, it could have been. The angels could have said, you'll marry Joseph, and then it'll happen. But the angel instead says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary says, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Now, she could have thought, why did I have to ask that question? Because the answer has made it weirder. It's getting weirder by the minute. But her answer is one of simple faith and a servant heart. In modern language, she's saying, if you say so, it'll be so. And I'll do whatever the Lord wants. Mary found favor with God. And she was allowed to give birth to his child. I guess that gives a hint about her character. But also here we see her faith demonstrated. And then we have Zechariah, who says to the angel, how can I be sure of this? Or as Sue said, how can I be sure of this? Well, yeah, we think Zechariah was probably from Northern England. We had that feel about him, didn't he? Yeah, because we can't do Jewish. I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. So here we have a faithful man of God who is mature, who served God for many years. He's been told that the longings of his heart are going to be fulfilled, and he doesn't respond with faith. He responds with unbelief. When you first look at it, that's strange, isn't it? He's the guy with the experience. He's the guy with the maturity. He's the guy with all of the learning. And those things are made clear. The angel says to him, because you didn't believe. And Elizabeth, speaking by the power of the Spirit, says to Mary, because you believed. So what was going on? Why? One of the keys to this, I believe, was about disappointment. It's about disappointment. Zechariah and Elizabeth, for years, had prayed for a son. And the social stigma of not having children was massive then. You'll remember some of the other accounts in the Bible where other mothers laugh at them. They laugh at those who don't have children. They see it as being either that they are weak or somehow less, or that they are sinful. And now, at the very time when they're past it, when it's humanly impossible, comes the promise. And there's the sense in which that constant disappointment of not having his prayers answered in the way that he wanted had eroded faith in the God of the impossible. So now, not even the presence of an extremely high-ranking angel did it for Zechariah. Because it's a bit of a clue, isn't it, when you get a high-ranking angel saying something's going to happen. constant, unresolved disappointment had led to unbelief. Because you did not believe my words, you're going to be struck silent. And what happens to Zechariah happens in so many of our lives. Maybe you're a Christian and you've served God faithfully for years, but the constant disappointment of not having your prayers answered in the way you wanted, prayers about power, prayers about healing, prayers about key relationships, prayers for those that you love, prayers for the church, prayers for new Christians, prayers for our families. Perhaps you've been badly let down. Perhaps you've let others down. Perhaps you've let yourself down. And now you get to that point where there's no real faith for change. No real faith for those promises. Been here before. Heard that before. Never works for me. No real faith for change for relationships. No real faith for power. No real faith for healing. No real faith for freedom. Maybe you're someone who turned away from Christianity many years ago, perhaps became disillusioned about God or the church or Christians. Stuff happened. There's always stuff happening, isn't there? You still turn up now and then, but your heart's not really in it. You're not expecting God to do anything. Not expecting anything to really change. Got a bit cynical, really. You can always find a natural human reason for what other people call the power of God. Zechariah could well have felt, why me? What did I do wrong? The Bible, it says, itself talks about them as observing God's commands blamelessly. Sometimes we can be too kind to ourselves about how blameless we've been. But the Bible's makes it clear that this was a couple who had served God blamelessly. And Zechariah might be thinking, well, others get blessed. They're not as devoted as me. It's not fair. And perhaps we feel like that too. And today God wants to take us beyond disappointment and let faith rise. I want to talk to you about one of the amazing things that happens here that's about realignment and about restoration. So Gabriel tells Zechariah he won't be able to speak until all this comes to pass because of his unbelief. One commentator reckons that's partly so his unbelief doesn't get in the way of the situation. You could imagine him perhaps speaking stuff out like, well, yeah, okay, she's pregnant, but I hope she doesn't lose the baby. She's getting on a bit. Hope the baby's healthy when it's born. I mean, old women having babies, they're not always healthy babies. Hope Elizabeth will stay safe. You can imagine that those are the kind of things that could be spoken out when there's unbelief. We don't know whether or not that's true. But we do know that when we speak out our unbelief, it can have a huge impact on our environment. There are times when people can enter into a situation and suck all the faith out of it. And there are other times when people can enter into a situation and breathe faith and build faith because of their faith. I wonder which one you are, and I am. Are we faith builders or faith suckers? It's also certainly true that not being able to speak would have limited his job as a priest fairly substantially. That his unbelief brought about diminished effectiveness in his ministry and lessened his capacity to fulfill his calling. And that's the same for us. When we're not lined up with God, with faith, belief, obedience, then our capacity to fulfill our calling, our effectiveness in ministry, suffer. We're not released to be all we were designed to be. I wonder if you have that sense of being a fraction or a shadow of all you could be and should be. I wonder if that's connected to those levels of belief or unbelief, to aligning to God's will and God's way. So the child is born, and in that culture, as per usual, there's pressure for him to be named after his dad. And then we get that lovely bit where the neighbors are all having a go. Who's ever heard of John? Ridiculous. In verse 63, he gets the writing tablet and he writes down, his name is John. And immediately he regains his voice and begins to praise God. As he aligns himself to God's word, he is restored instantly. This isn't just about believing about the baby. It's obviously true about the baby because the baby's there. That's nothing to do with faith. But he's aligned with this baby being the baby that God has named and the baby that God has called. He's caught up. He's got with the program. This is John. This is the baby the angel talked about. And I line up with the fact that this is what's going to happen. And as he believes for that future, he is restored to enter into it. And that shows the wonder of God's grace. When we line up or when we realign, we'd have to wait forever to be restored. You hear stories of people who've turned away from God for years, and when they return, all of the Bible verses that they remembered come flooding back. All of the experience that they had comes flooding back, and God restores them and uses them. Maybe you've been off course for a long time, and you wonder if God could use you or use you in the same way again. And his grace and his love say yes. His grace and his love say, it can be today. His grace and his love say, it can be right now. I want to talk to you now, just briefly before we close, about divine appointments. This all begins at the start of Luke. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. He wasn't chosen by a man called Lot. He was chosen by, no one fully understands exactly what it is, but it's a little bit like throwing dice. That's one of our closest. And he got double six. It's a little bit like that. So he gets double six and he goes, yay, I get to serve in the temple. Proverbs 16 verse 33 says this, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Zechariah might have thrown a double six, but it was God who threw it really. Zechariah was always going to be serving in the temple that day. It wasn't some random chance due to a roll of the dice. God had always intended to bless them with a baby. They would have settled for any baby, and it would probably have been called either Zechariah or Elizabeth. God wanted them to have John. Jesus said there was no man who ever lived up to that time who was greater than John. So this is some baby. But they couldn't have had John until now. They couldn't have had John up until now because John's role was to prepare the way for Jesus. And it wasn't time for Jesus until now. It was the perfect time. Just like it was the perfect time for Jesus, even though it made it especially hard for Mary at the time. God gave them both so much more than they asked for, but not exactly what they asked for, and not when they asked for it. The situation was never out of control for him. It just felt like it for them. At just the right time. it came to fulfillment. The waiting, the struggles weren't wasted. It helped them become who they were. And who they were will be part of the process of preparing John to be who he was. Ready to be parents for this great man. I wonder what God wants for you and what God wants for me that's so much greater than our plans. It might not be easier, it might not be quicker, but it will be better. I wonder where our disappointment, all that waiting, has led us to unbelief. I wonder where we need to realign to God again or align for the first time so that we can be restored to be all he wants us to be. So we can be impacting and influencing others by our faith, not by our unbelief. So we can enter into God's best instead of our version. You see, today's a divine appointment too. I completely believe that. Whatever you think you're here, whatever reason you think has brought you here, I better had, or my wife will not speak to me tomorrow. All the way through, I feel a bit guilty. All the way through to, I love being here. Part of the reason that you're here is that God wants you to hear what he's got to say today. So that faith can rise up. So that unbelief can be dealt with. So we can line up with what God has spoken, with his plans for us. And you may be, even now, things that have brought to mind about what God has said, what he's spoken, about what you're called to do or about who you are. And disappointment and struggle and waiting has meant that you've slowly distanced yourself from that truth and from those promises. And unbelief has kicked in. And God wants us to be restored to the riches and restored to the blessings he has for us. It doesn't matter how young we are, like Mary, or how old we are, like Zechariah and Elizabeth. It all comes back to responding with simple faith again, with a yes. I believe it's going to be the way you said it's going to be, Lord, and I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. Even though I don't understand it, even though I wish it happened sooner, even though I wish it happened better, from my perspective, I trust that your better really is better. And I trust that your timing really is perfect. And then we can cut out those months of ineffectiveness, of limited capacity, of losing our voice. Maybe you feel, in terms of ministry, you've lost your voice. You know the gifts God's given you, but you've lost your voice. And it's because you need to realign. Mary and Zechariah end up singing amazing songs of worship. You can read about them in Luke 1. It's a really long chapter, Luke 1 is. It's got some fantastic stuff in it. It's a great chapter to read just before Christmas. It seems to be clear that when they realign, they discover that God's best was so much more than they planned for themselves. Read those verses. Read this again. Maybe it will encourage you to take the risk yourself. Sounds like I'm done. In a moment, we're going to sing a couple of worship songs that will kind of help us in our response. But what I want to do is I want to ask everyone to pray. People used to say, be in an attitude of prayer. I don't want you to be in an attitude of prayer. I want you to pray. I don't know what an attitude of prayer is. I want you to pray. And I want to ask that if God has specifically spoken to you about unbelief and the fact that you need to realign, then your act of standing this morning will be you realigning. Then I'll pray for you, and if you'd like some more prayer at the end, we will be delighted to pray for you. But it seemed very important to bring this word this morning. It could really affect the way you enjoy Christmas. But far more importantly, it could really affect the way you enjoy your relationship with God and his call on your life. So let's pray. Eyes closed. If you know that you need to respond to that word and to realign with God this morning, will you stand? Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. Just a couple of moments more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you see each heart, you see into each heart here. And just pray for each person here that has stood with the desire to realign. And I want to ask, Lord, that you will enter into their obedience right now, and that you will bring a release of faith and a release of peace. And I want to ask, Lord, that you will begin that wonderful process of restoring them to all that you have for them. Ask that right now, by your Spirit, you'll touch each one. That right now, by your Spirit, you will bring a rise in faith. You'll bring a lightening of the heart. You'll bring a renewed perspective. And ask, Lord, that over the coming days that you will bring real encouragement about what your plans and purposes are. Thank you for your word. Thank you for those who are faithful to respond to it. And just ask right now that you will pour out your grace and your favor and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.